Let's talk a little bit about advanced security management. So first of all, thank you for attending the session, Gain Visibility and Control with Office 365 Advanced Security Management. My name's AJ Smith. I'm the Senior Product Marketing Manager for Advanced Security Management, or as we like to call it at Microsoft, ASM for short. So if you hear me say ASM, I mean Advanced Security Management. We like to use lots of acronyms. So what I'm going to do in this session is to give you a very high level overview of Advanced Security Management, talk to you a little bit about what it does, and then I'm going to show you a bunch of demos. I'm probably going to spend most of the time actually in demos, not in slides. So if you have questions, feel free to ask. I'm more than happy to take them throughout the session. But let's start with what Advanced Security Management really focuses on. If I had to boil it down, it's about getting you enhanced visibility and control for Office 365. And we do this by focusing on three areas. First, threat detection. We want to help you identify high risk, abnormal usage, security incidents, and threats that are going on inside of your Office 365 tenant. And we do this through what we call anomaly detection alerts. Effectively, we use machine learning to understand what is normal for your tenant and for your user. And then if anything deviates from that within a certain range, we can send you an alert. You write the policy effectively. We give you a bunch of sliders that you control what's the risk level you want to see, and we'll take care of the rest. It's a pretty straightforward thing to set up. Now, we also focus on giving you enhanced control. And we focus on this area really on how to shape your Office 365 environment with granular security controls and policies. So along with the anomaly detection alerts, we have these things called activity alerts, which are much more fine-tuned to what you're exactly looking for. So if you want to stop downloads of multiple pieces of information, you can stop that. If you want to say, I want to track admin activity or things like that, you can easily do that. You can get to a very fine, granular level that you're going to control. Well, the anomaly stuff is more of the machine learning pieces, where it's just some sliders that says, yes, I want to look for impossible travel scenarios. You can say, if this or this or this happens, send me an alert. Also, as part of the enhanced control piece, we also focus on giving you visibility and control into apps that are plugged into Office 365. So we know that end users download apps. They put them on their machine. They use them because they want to be productive. But some of those apps plug directly into Office 365. But when they get to that screen that says, hey, this app needs permissions X, Y, and Z, what do? They just hit accept. They don't read the screen. They just push the button because they want the app to work. The problem is that you as IT professionals have no idea that they've pressed the button that says, I've given out all these permissions, and if that app is too risky in your organization because it has read-write access to mailboxes, calendars, whatever else, you may want control over that. So what we're doing with this feature called app permissions is to give you the ability to actually see all those applications, who's installed them, and what permissions they have. And then if you deem that it's too risky for your environment, you can ban that application across your entire Office tenant. So nobody else can actually plug that app into the service. And also, everyone else who's already plugged it in, that app loses all those permissions. So when they start the app up again next time, it may actually give an error message because it can't read and write to their calendar or whatever else. The third piece is we focus on discovery and insights. We want to help you really get enhanced visibility and context into your Office 365 usage, along with shadow IT. So what we do is we have this productivity app discovery dashboard. It gives you a view of your office usage, but it also looks at other productivity applications that are being used inside your organization. So for example, it will show you information around, let's say, use of OneDrive for Business, but it will also show you information around use of Dropbox or Box, because they're similar products that are both, all of those are cloud storage solutions. So we give you a set of solutions as part of Office 365, and then we take the equivalent counterparts that are other third parties and show you in a dashboard usage of those applications. And the reason we do this is that so that you can better go back to your users and say, hey, our approved solution is X, whatever it is. Hopefully it's OneDrive for Business or whatever else. But if you see lots of use of Box, you can say, look, you guys, we already pay for Office 365. We pay for OneDrive for Business. You can use this. And it's great for cloud storage. We have all the policies wrapped around it to make sure that your data is safe, et cetera, et cetera. So that is advanced security management at a super high level. Instead of talking about it some more, I'm just going to show you a bunch of demos so you can see what it looks like. Okay, so first of all, how do you get to advanced security management? Well, first things first, to get into it, you have to go under Manage Advanced Alerts and then click Go to Advanced Security Management. So this is the Security Compliance Center. You would go in here and run it directly from this spot here. Now, if you've never turned on advanced security management, like it's the first time you're going in, there's a checkbox where you have to accept terms. And the reason we do this is because the data that's stored in Advanced Security Management is actually not stored in Office 365. It's stored in Azure. And the reason is because Advanced Security Management is powered by another product called Cloud App Security. So effectively, Advanced Security Management is a subset of the Cloud App Security product that we acquired from a company called Adlom. So Cloud App Security stores all of its data in Azure. So therefore, of course, we store our data in Azure. So you have to be comfortable with the fact that it's going to Azure instead of Office 365. You check the box and you agree to terms. You click Go into Advanced Security Management. And effectively, what you would end up seeing is a screen like this. This is the first set of policies. Question? So question for this case, not everyone heard it, and for the recording, is does this come with every Office subscription? The answer is no. It only comes as part of Office 365 E5, but it's also available as a standalone product. So if you want to buy it and attach it to your E3 tenant, you're more than welcome to. Or even if you own Exchange Plan 2 mailboxes, you can do the same thing. The standalone price, street price, is $3 per user per month. So this is the policies page that you land on. You'll notice the first one up here is the first policy I have is my general anomaly detection policy. And in here, I can see my open alerts. So in this case here, I can see that I've got an alert for Yvonne Palmer. If I click directly into it, it actually gives me the details of this alert. So first of all, it has a pretty high risk score, 86%, and it's a pretty high severity alert. Here I get the details of why the alert was triggered. So first, it shows me that this session was actually done through an anonymous proxy, right? Obviously, big red flag. My admin shouldn't be using anonymous proxies. Secondly, of course, Yvonne's an administrator. Third, this is the first time we've ever seen the ISP. Well, if Yvonne's an administrator or company, odds are she's done work from somewhere else before, for home or something else. So seeing a new ISP, big red flag. The next one, really interesting. Mail forwarding rules were set up. So this account was used to create mail forwarding rules to forward mailboxes somewhere else, to forward some mail. And then last but not least, there were 3 failed login attempts. So if I think this is egregious, I'm just going to shut it down. I can. I can go up here to the resolution options and say suspend Office 365 user. And I can suspend Yvonne's account right here, right now. But let's say I want to just do some more investigation. I can easily do that. So if I scroll down into the activity log, what I can effectively do is see what activities triggered these events. So I can go in and actually see some of the details here, where I can see the forwarding address was sent to here, right? So again, I can see what's going on, do my investigation to figure out, is this really bad? And if so, I should shut this thing down. But I can even dig into things like the IP address. So if I want to see, here's the IP address that was being used. Look in, and I can see, well, actually, it's not just Yvonne, but there's other accounts that were being used from this IP address, too. So do I have a bigger problem than just Yvonne's account? So I can do some investigation to figure out what's going on. So in this case, again, I probably would shut down Yvonne's account, but I'd start also going into James's account and see what's going on and see if there's anything suspicious. All right. Let me show you how to create a general anomaly detection policy. So it's really easy to do. We actually give you one right out of the box. So as soon as you turn on the service, there's one already there. But sometimes you may want to create another one that's scoped differently or has a different alert threshold. So maybe for your executives, you're like, if the alert comes out at a score of like 40, I want to be alerted, versus my marketing guys, yeah, give me the ones that are over 65. So let me show you how to create an anomaly detection alert or an anomaly detection policy. So first, you can just give it a name. I'll call this admin policy. Give it a description if you want. Give it a category. And then you can actually set filters for the activities. So in this case here, I'm going to say I only want to look for, let's say, administrative activity. And then I can choose my risk factor. So these are all the things that the service looks for to determine if there's an anomaly or not in it. So first of all, login failures. If you log in fail too many times, we can see that as an anomaly. Admin activity. So if it's abnormal for that person to be setting mail forwarding rules because most of what they do is give subscriptions out or whatever else, we're going to flag that. Inactive accounts. How many of you reassign Office 365 licenses for when people leave and new people come in? Some of you. Yeah, most people don't. It's just the person leaves, the mailbox, the account just sitting there, and it just sits there forever. Well, if that account is inactive for a certain amount of time, what we can do is say, well, if it magically gets used again, that's an anomaly. We'll let you know, because maybe somebody's gotten access to that account that shouldn't have access to it. Location. So if I mostly work in the United States and I never go to Brazil, but somehow the service detects that I'm logging in from Brazil, that's going to be an anomaly. The device and user agent information. So again, if you're using devices or user agent strings that aren't normally used with your tenant or with that user. We'll flag that for you. And then, of course, the activity rate. There's also impossible travel, which is the one that I love, which is, Let me finish this one. Which effectively is, let's say I am logging into my mailbox from New York City, but 5 minutes later, the service detects I'm in Tokyo downloading content from SharePoint. Obviously, in a five-minute stretch, I can't be in those two locations. So it's actually flagged as an anomaly. Question? So it's using IP address to detect the location information. So if, depending on where you're being routed from, so depending on how your network infrastructure lays out, like if you are in the San Francisco office but all your traffic is routed through New York or for whatever reason, we'll know you as effectively wherever those IP addresses are bound. So that's how we detect it. So, yep. All right. So once you've turned on whichever pieces you want to monitor, which in this case I'm turning on all of it, I can set my alert. So there's a default severity threshold that is set for 65. But if I really want to, I can change it up to 80 or 45 or whatever number I want it to be. I can set a number of alerts per day that I can get on this. So it's 5 all the way up to unlimited. I can also send an alert via email or by text message. So it doesn't, you don't always have to go into the console to view it. If you want to get an email, you can put in, I believe it's up to 10 email addresses. But likely what I would end up doing is creating like a help desk alias or an alias for a team and funnel everything that way so that, you know, a team of people would actually pick it up. And then, of course, text messages. If you're, something is so bad and you want to get a text message, you obviously can get that. And that's it. Once you hit create, you're all set. Now realize, since anomalies are things that are, you know, that differentiate from a baseline, we have to collect that baseline first. So as soon as you turn on the service, we actually take a baseline for 7 days. So you won't see any anomaly detection alerts for the first 7 days. We need to understand what's normal. Is it normal for AJ to be in New York, or is it normal for AJ to be in Tokyo? Once we get that baseline, then we can start sending you the actual anomaly detection alerts. All right. The other alerts that you can see are the activity policy ones. So I'll actually show you an activity policy and how they're pretty easy to create. So with activity policies, these are the ones where you can create exactly what you're looking for and then get those alerts. There are some that we give you right out of the box for templates. One of the more popular ones that we see is the mass download by a single user, right? The person who's like, I'm going to go steal a bunch of stuff and walk out the door. So I use the template, it applies it, but effectively the template says, if we see 30 times that this thing happens within 5 minutes, we would fire off an alert. And those things that we're actually looking for are things like downloads of attachments, downloads of files, downloads of items. So effectively all the download items that we can see, we actually will trap. So if I see 30 of those within 5 minutes, the alert will get triggered. And create my alert again, just like I did earlier. I can send an email, I can send a text message, but you'll notice at the bottom, there's another option, suspend user. So since you're controlling this, you are saying what is so bad that you want to shut it down, we're going to give you that option to suspend the user. On the anomaly side, just because it's an anomaly doesn't mean it's bad. I could be vacationing in Brazil and checking my mail, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just I'm checking my mail. So you may not want to shut someone down, but it's an anomaly. On this, since you're controlling exactly what you want to monitor from an activity perspective, you should say, if I ever see this, because it's so horrifically bad, I'm going to shut it down. That account just gets shut down immediately. You still get the alert, of course, but you won't have to worry about suspending that user's account as part of that process of the investigation. So that's the alerting side. This has been available inside the product since June when we actually launched it. Now, the other two things I'm going to show you, one of them, which the next one I'll show you, is our productivity app discovery feature, is actually coming out this week. We haven't launched it yet, but this week it'll actually be out, and this gives you that visibility into some of the apps that are being used, other productivity apps that are being used. So let me show you where it's at inside the console. So if I go under data loss prevention, you will see this feature called productivity app discovery. I click go to advanced security management, and it takes me to the portal. So this is that dashboard that's gonna show you your visibility into your office usage and a bit of your shadow IT usage. So I've already got a report here. I'm gonna click into it so you get a general idea of what this looks like. But at the top, you can see the number of apps I have out there. I also have the number of users, the IP addresses, things like that. And then I get some nice categories, some nice widgets that tell me what's going on here. So across all the Office 365 categories that we look for, collaboration, webmail, cloud storage, online meetings, and social networking, I can see how much traffic is going to these categories. So in this case here, collaboration, I've got 5.5 gigs of traffic going to Office 365 and 24 megs of other apps. All right. Probably relatively safe. I'm in pretty good shape. If I go to cloud storage, on the other hand, I got 820 megs going to Office 365 and 2.4 gigs going to other stuff. That's a big red flag for me. So I'm going to go investigate this a bit more. So what I can do is go down here and look under discovered apps and change the dropdown to cloud storage. And here we can see, based on traffic, what's going on. So that 820 megs, of course, is OneDrive for Business. But then I can see I've got box usage of 538 megs and a bunch of other products that are being used. There's actually 50 of them here, so I can just click through and see all the other cloud storage products that are being used that are picked up in my organization. So this is one of those times where I go, okay, great. What are those approved IT solutions that I've blessed? And how do I get my users to stop using these other things? So this is more of an end user education moment where I'd go out to my users and be like, hey, look, you should be using this, this, and this. Now, if you wanted to control something like box usage, we don't provide that as part of advanced security management. But Cloud App Security that I mentioned earlier, that powers advanced security management, does give you the ability to write policies for like Box and Dropbox and things like that. So if those are approved applications, but you want to manage them with policies, you can do that with Cloud App Security. Now, you're probably all thinking, how did this data actually end up in here? Well, there is no agent you install on an endpoint. We are completely agentless. The way that we get it is effectively by having you upload logs from your firewalls and your proxies into the service. So to do that, you would just go under here and say create snapshot report, give it a name, give it a description, choose your data source. So here's all the data sources we support. There's stuff from Bluecoat, Checkpoint, Cisco, Dell, Juniper, Palo Alto, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's also an other. So we can also take in a text file, assuming it matches a particular format, we should be able to parse through it and get that data out of it. But if you just have Zscaler, you just give us the log in their format, we'll go through, parse through it, and actually do the translation of IP address XYZ equals box, and we make you the nice pretty dashboard. You can upload up to 10 files, and 1 gigabyte in size for each one. So that's how you can create at least one dashboard. So if you take it from your firewall and your proxy, you've got two different files, great. You can submit them both at the same time. We'll parse through everything and create the dashboard. Question? So the question was, for the recording, is there any automation to this? So in advanced security management, there's no automation. In Cloud App Security, you can automate this process where you can pull them in on a regular basis. Remember, the dashboard's going to be based off of what's ever in those logs. So it's going to be that snapshot in time. So let's say your logs are for 30 days, great. We'll give you that 30-day view. The next time you actually take that log, let's say it's 10 days later, we'll give you that view of 10 days. It won't aggregate the 30 and the 10. That's why you saw in the previous screen, there's a list of reports. So if you want to keep the history, you can do that. All right. So that's the productivity app discovery. Let me show you the last one, which is called app permissions. Now, app permissions is not yet released. It's coming in the near future. So what I'm going to show you is a prototype of it. So it may change when it's launched a little bit, but let me show you what it effectively looks like as of right now. So this is where I get the ability, of course, to see what apps are being plugged into Office 365 by my end users. So here I can see the app names. It was added by how many users, the permission level, so is it high, medium, or low, the last date it was added by, and then, of course, my ability to go ahead and say I want to authorize this, which just, effectively is just a visual cue for my admins to say, yeah, I've already checked this over, or I can outright ban the application. If I click on one of these, let's say I click on do, it gives me some description about the application, points me to their website. It also shows me the exact permissions. So in this case here, this application has access to your data at any time, enable sign in and read your user profile, has full access to your calendar, and can sign in as you and read your profile. Well, if in my organization I think this is a really bad idea and I want to shut that down, you can. I can just hit close here. I can also see, of course, which users. So here are the two users in my organization that are using this application. I can always reach out to them and understand why they're doing this and everything else. But after I do my investigation, if I decide to shut it down, I can just go over here and click ban. And then it says, do you actually really want to do this? If you do, do you want to send them an email message? I highly recommend this. Send them an email message with an address that you want them to reply to if they have a question. So if this is like 400 users, you probably don't want to point them to you. Point them to an alias of some sort so people can help you with the amount of email that you might get. And then, of course, give them a custom notice. Why are you doing this? Right? Because the first question is like, hey, I use this thing for this reason. It's a really good tool. Why are you taking it away from me? So give them a reasonable description of why you're doing it. And, of course, prepare the help desk or whoever else that might end up taking the phone calls on this. Or just in your note, don't call the help desk. They don't support this thing. You're not supposed to be using it. email this person instead if you have a complaint or you want to talk to us about it. But effectively, once you hit ban app in this, what we do is we go down to the API level and we shut down that application's access to the API. So that app, as it tries to plug back in, won't actually have access to those things, and they'll start getting error messages. Hence the redirect them to a help desk or somewhere else, because that app may actually start throwing errors. Also, if somebody downloads the app again, or a new user tries to use the app and plugs it in, it'll fail also. They won't have the permissions in. So that app will be banned across the entire tenant. So regardless of who that person is, that app will no longer function. So that is the super high-level view of advanced security management. Let me jump back to the slides quick here. If you want to learn more about some of the advanced security management features and functionality, there's a bunch of other sessions. There's a session all around auditing and insights for Office 365. I also did a session earlier this week on Tuesday, which is just, this is just the super abbreviated version of this that I highly recommend that you look at. So it was hosted by Yair Cohen and myself, and it will go into much more detail. But then the other two sessions in here are the Cloud App Security ones. So if you want that cross-cloud solution for managing more than just Office 365, I would highly recommend you take a look at those sessions. If you're new to Office 365, you need to do deployment, you want to ramp up on some of the new services, we have this great program called Fast Track. I'd highly recommend you take a look at that. And if you want to join the Microsoft Tech community to collaborate and share and learn from the experts out there, feel free to do so. The URL's on the slide. And then, of course, we appreciate evals and feedback. I can't do better without the feedback. So with that, that's kind of the end of the session. Any questions or anything else that I can answer? Gentlemen over. Yeah, so behind the scenes, we do know, like, user X, because of their ID, is using device Y. So we'll know some of that information. We can log all of that. So we'll know, like, the device agent strings and things like that that you would normally use, because you normally use IE as your browser and things like that. We will understand that information and keep that so that if somehow your account's being used on a completely different device and it's using some unique browser that you've never used before, that's how we would detect if it's an anomaly or not. So the score itself is actually calculated. There's like, we actually, in the longer session, we actually showed the math of how it actually gets done. We take a bunch of points of like throughout the session and determine that if the score ends up higher than the score you set it at for the policy, we'll trigger the alert. So for example, let's say you fail login 4 times. That's likely not gonna be enough to trigger the policy to fire off, but if you fail like login 4 times, you use a different device, you do something you've not done as an administrator before, your score builds up, and as soon as it exceeds the threshold, that's when the alert gets fired. Okay? Other questions? So the question was, what does this require? So from a licensing perspective, you must have Office 365 E5, or you can buy it as a standalone option to add on top of your E3 license or whatever else you have. So you can buy it as standalone, which is $3 per user per month. Okay. Other questions? Yeah, back there. The app permissions is not available yet. It's in preview right now for some customers. No. It's part of advanced security management. So if you own advanced security management, you will get app permissions as they will just light up in the console for you. So for the three features I showed you, the alerting, the app, the productivity app discovery, and the app permissions are all part of it, of advanced security management. If we decide at some point in the future that we want to add a new feature, it would just light up in the console and you would have access to it, assuming you have the advanced security management license or E5. So yeah. Okay. So how does this relate to Azure Identity Protection? So there's multiple other security products that we have that look after identity. So like ATA and a bunch of other things. So there are things that we obviously do have that also look at where you're being logged on from and everything else. It's actually very similar technology, but this is only scoped to Office, while some of the other ones are scoped to other cloud services and everything else. So it depends, again, on what you're actually trying to target and use the product for. We believe from an Office perspective that if you buy Office 365, you need the tools to manage Office 365, not have to go outside the Office 365 world to get those tools. So effectively, that's why we give you Advanced Security Management as targeting Office, and we have Cloud App Security, which gives you that more holistic cross-cloud solution, which was what powers Advanced Security Management. Yep. The slides should be available. I did post them already, but if you also want to see the deeper session, which has additional slides, that was on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So you can get those slides also and watch that session. That was a 75-minute session. Actually, it was not, unfortunately, on my list, but I will give you the code. Yeah. Questions? Thank you very much.